Hi there, welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Today's episode is another encore episode. This time it's about my great uncle Gene in St. Louis and the amazing gift that he gave me at the end of his life, as well as a visit from his brother, my grandpa, who had passed over, and the amazing healing that occurred because I said yes to all those whispers. So I'd love for you to hear this, and I really appreciate you listening along. Thanks for being here, you guys. Hi there. Welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Today's story is a little bit harder to tell because it starts to delve into some of the trauma and stuff in my past that I had to work through to get to the point where I can do the work that I do now. It's some of the reason that I shut down and stopped listening to my intuition. So it is an important part of my story and it needs to be told. Last episode, I told you about my great uncle Dan in Houston and the gift he gave me as he was dying. My other favorite great-uncle is my big uncle Gene, who lives in St. Louis. It was my mom's dad's brother, and he would always come with my cousins for Christmas or during the summer, and it was just super exciting anytime they would come. They were a lot of fun, and he just had so much energy. I mean, he would just take over the place with his excitement and his exuberance and his stories, and oh my god, he was a storyteller, just constantly. And he had false teeth, and he loved to look at me and like clack them out of his mouth at me and scare me when I was little. He just was a lot of fun, and you know, just a ball of energy, maybe more energy than anybody I've ever been around, for sure. So I'll tell you another time all about my dad's hit and run accident and how I found the man that ran him over and all that. But Uncle Gene ties into that because after about 4 months of being with my parents and taking care of my dad and getting him through that whole thing, I finally get back home to my house. I finally get back where I can, you know, get back on my turf and recharge and try to get my batteries going again. And I lay down to sleep and I wake up about 2 hours later and I hear, "Get up, they need you." That voice, that little whisper that says, "Get up, they need you." And I questioned it. I was so exhausted from all the drama and trauma of dealing with my dad's wreck. I questioned it. I said, "Oh my God, who needs me? What now?" And I heard, "They need you. Just wait." And then, you know, 5 minutes later, my phone rings. It's my mom. And she says, "Sissy, you know, Uncle Gene is dying. He's, you know, been in the hospital. They put him in hospice. He had throat cancer," which really sucks because the man that could tell the greatest stories couldn't talk anymore. So I mean, it sucks for a lot of reasons, but it really bothered him, and he was so active. So the fact that his body wouldn't work anymore, he was really, really down and really depressed. And so I was thrilled that they called and wanted me to come. I was the only one from the Texas family that went out there. So of course I go, because you know, that's a sacred time and you don't say no to that. I don't care how tired I was. So I pack up my stuff, I get on the plane, I go, my cousin Tara picks me up, and we go to the hospital. And as bad as he felt and as close to dying as he was, the second I get in, you know, he motions to me and I come lean over him, and the first thing he does is pop out those damn dentures at me and clack them and just kind of cackled as best he could. And it, bless his heart, it was super weak energy. I mean, you could just feel that he'd just been ebbing away, but he tried, like he gave it the old college try. And he was just so exhausted. I could just feel how much he did not want to be there anymore. And I had just put down a couple of my dogs a few months back. I had to put them down together. That's a whole nother story for another time. But I was really struck by the fact that this sweet man who had been full of energy was having to struggle so much as he was getting ready to pass. And this is part of why I think the death doula work is where I may be headed eventually, because I could feel what he needed. Like I just could intuitively feel with some of my medical intuition that I have, you know, that his throat was dry and that his lips were chapped, and I got him one of those sponge things that you could moisten his mouth, and like a lot of the things that I had learned while Dad was in physical therapy rehab and in the hospital, I was able to apply to Uncle Gene. But I could just feel other things that he needed, so I was catering to him and taking care of him, and I was picking up on things that people were saying and then getting like these insightful intuitive flashes on what to do about it. Like a neighbor came in and said, you know, Gene, you know I named my son Danny because you liked the song Danny Boy so much. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that about him that he liked it. So I just sat for a second and I heard Bing Crosby version. So next time I was in there with him alone, you know, about an hour later, I pulled up on my phone the Bing Crosby version of Danny Boy and I started to play it. And by that point he wasn't moving much and he was really far gone. But his little feet started tapping. And there's a part in the song where the music just swells, and his hands went up while he laid in the bed, and he just sort of tried to sing with it, with his body. It was the most beautiful thing. So somebody else walked in and noticed that and said, oh yeah, he was huge into music and loved to dance with my great aunt. And so they said he was a great swing dancer. So I went and just kind of intuitively put together a swing dance playlist, because that's something I used to do with my granny a lot. We would swing dance and do the stroll and all kinds of stuff together. So I put together this playlist and I went and I crawled in bed with him. And for an hour, I laid there with him and we played every song I could think of that I thought he would enjoy. And his feet were tapping and he was snuggling me and we just had the best time. It was such a lovely way to get him ready to send off. And then his daughters came in and they all talked to him and they were, you know, trying to say their goodbyes. And it was really hard for them, obviously, because they were super close to their daddy. But I began to notice that they would give him heavy doses of morphine, and every time he would come back out of the morphine, he would be more and more agitated and more upset. And it just was really traumatizing him to come out of it. So I finally heard the intuitive knowing that I was supposed to tell my cousins, it's time. It's time to really say your goodbyes and let's keep him heavily sedated so he doesn't come back out of it again. So he can, you know, pass calmly and without pain and without having to regain consciousness. It's just time. So one by one, they all went in and they said their piece with their daddy. And I told him I loved him and got ready to go because I wanted them to be there at the very end with him. I knew at that point that my job was done, that I was supposed to help ease his pain, bring him some joy, bring him some of the sparkly energy that he'd always brought to me, that it was just my turn to give that back, which I did. And I was getting ready to go home, and I love how this works. My cousin had recently married a man who was out in the hallway, and I didn't know him very well. His name's Robert, and Robert pulled me aside in the hallway, and he said what everybody always says that's so funny. He said, you're going to think I'm weird, but, and I knew immediately where he was headed. He said, I'm psychic, and this guy has been following me for the last couple of days wanting to talk to you. And I just started laughing, and I said, it's okay, because I am too. And so he felt relieved, and it's like this weird secret code that we all have. Like, it's scary to come out with these gifts, because people, you know, some people don't think that they're good gifts, and some people are afraid of it. But I know it's a blessing from God, and that's how I use it. So anyway, so Robert pulls me aside and he says, this guy has been bothering me. Now keep in mind, Robert just came into the family. This was my great uncle that I was visiting. So his brother is my grandpa. It's my mom's dad. And I mentioned before that my granny had been abused a lot by my grandpa. Well, it was that grandpa. And I had a real tricky relationship with him. I loved him desperately because he was my grandpa, but I also despised him because he was horribly bigoted and very violent and raged and abused my mom and my grandpa and my granny in front of me. I mean, I watched all that happen. Weirdly enough, he never raised a hand to me or raised his voice to me. And he always called me his littlest angel and was really careful with me. But that messed me up too for a long time because I had survivor's guilt in a way. But anyway, so complicated was, you know, an understatement with that relationship. And I spoke at his funeral and I was the only one that really wanted to because he was such a hot mess and so mean at times. So I had to find that fine line of, you know, what could be said about him that was loving and good. But that's, I'll tell you more about that another time. But that's the backstory to understand. As Robert's in the hallway, my cousin's new husband, saying he's psychic, he says, this man is here. And he had just married into the family. My grandpa had been gone for years, so he didn't know him. But he said, there's this old dude, and he's in one of those zip-up jumpsuits. And that was what my grandpa wore, those lazy old man Sansibel zipper. In fact, I called him Captain Jumpsuit. And he said, and this guy's messy. He's got like food all over him and pipe tobacco. And that was my grandpa. It was just like stains all down the front as he got older. He was just a mess. And he said, he's here and he needs to talk to you. And I said, well, he knows he can talk to me on his own. And he said, he can't and he won't. And he won't cross over until you forgive him. And that shocked me because I figured he'd crossed over, you know, years ago, and I'd never felt him. I'd smelled his pipe tobacco a few times, but I'd never felt more from him or heard from him. And so I looked at him, and I wanted to know what he wanted forgiveness for, to be honest. So I said, okay, tell him he needs to explain himself. What do I forgive him for? And Robert said, he needs forgiveness because he broke you. He broke your heart and he made you afraid. And that shut everything down for you. And it did. It did. Watching my grandpa abuse my granny, abuse my mom, terrified me. It broke my heart. It broke my spirit. It made me afraid of men for a long time. And it made me shut down to a lot of the good in the world for a long time. I've done a ton of work around it, and I'm absolutely fine now, but it took a long time to undo the damage, and my granny and my mom, to be honest, never got over it. But anyway, so Robert tells me that, and I tell him, I'm like, tell Grandpa that I have forgiven him. Of course I've forgiven him, because I understand that broken people break people. That's how it works. Something had to have happened to him to have made him that way. And I know when you die, you go back to being the pure soul that God made you and your, you know, your best self. And I could always see glimpses of his best self in the way he treated me. So anyway, I told Robert to tell him that. And he said, oh my God, he'll be so relieved. And he told him, and he said, it worked. It worked. And he got to cross over. So my going to be with my big Uncle Gene, his little brother that he adored, I got to help Uncle Gene cross, and I got to forgive my grandpa to the point that he felt he could finally cross over. So that was a pretty profound trip to St. Louis, to say the least. And it opened up some new healing gifts for me and some new avenues of learning what my skills were and how to help others that might be in that same situation. So I just thought I'd share that with you. I think we'll stop talking about death after this one. That's been a little bit of the trajectory lately. So I do know a lot more uplifting intuitive stories. So next time we'll do something with a happier ending. But the big takeaway from all this, like I said in the last episode, is death really is a transition. It's no different than birth. You really are, you're just moving from one plane to another. And when you die, you're going back into the arms of people that love you. And you're going back into being the purest, best version of yourself, where there's no pain and no ugliness anymore. So that to me is super comforting. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've felt it. And I've had it displayed for me enough times that I believe that to my core. So I hope that helps somebody out there that's listening to this today. Just know that you're loved and that never ends. So that's it for today. I hope you guys have a great one, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. And if you're enjoying listening to the podcast, I really appreciate you, number one, and it would be awesome if you would download and subscribe and leave me a review on whatever platform you're listening on, especially Apple Podcasts, if that's where you listen. And if you could share my podcast with people you think might find it interesting, that would sure help me build my listenership. Thank you so much for being here and for taking the time to do that for me. It means the world to me. And if you'd like to get in touch and find out more information about me, you can find me on Instagram at @Airstream_Oracle, or my website is shannonpinkston.com. Both of those places will have a Linktree link that will take you to my Dragonfly Energy Wellness Facebook community, or there's a link to take you to information on one-on-one intuitive coaching and energy sessions, or a different link if you're interested in on-camera sparkle coaching. I just have a lot of amazing things coming down the line that I'm working up right now, and I would love to have you guys included in all that. So please reach out and leave me an email or join my Facebook group, and let's get busy making some magic in the world.